SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to. From the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water.
Yama, you're listening to NITV Radio. On today's program, the Boomajar Project will immerse audiences at the Perth Festival in a conversation with Melissa Sandy. And Dr. Sefton Ralston dives deep into creating connections between graffiti street art to poetry here with NITV Radio. And the government says hundreds of thousands of families are set to benefit as a $430 million over the next 4 years will go into subsidies for childcare. That more coming up on the show.
They've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
Today in the headlines, total fire bans are in place for large parts of Victoria, New South Wales and South Australia, with authorities in other states warning that a total fire ban could be declared at any time. The federal government's signature housing policy could worsen affordability for first home buyers, despite getting more people into home ownership. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has announced a year-long federal royal commission into the Bondi terror attack. That and more coming up on the news. Total fire bans are in place for large parts of Victoria, New South Wales and South Australia, with authorities in other states warning that a total fire ban could be declared at any time. Much of Australia is experiencing an extreme heat wave that is forecast to continue over the weekend. Temperatures in some areas have soared above 40 degrees Celsius, elevating the fire risk and prompting warnings for people to take steps to prevent heat-related deaths. A catastrophic fire danger rating is in place for Victoria's Northern Country, North Central and Wimmera districts. In South Australia, Paul Seeger, the Deputy Chief Officer of the state's Country Fire Service, says the fire danger risk means total fire bans are in place in 11 out of 15 fire districts.
The reason for that is we need to avoid any risky activities while this extreme fire weather exists. And as has been mentioned, this has been the most significant period of hot weather and extreme fire danger this summer. And we're grateful for the community of South Australia staying on high alert and being very disciplined with their activities and not undertaking any high-risk activities.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has announced a year-long federal royal commission into the Bondi terror attack. Former High Court Judge Virginia Bell will lead the inquiry and has been tasked with examining the nature and prevalence of anti-Semitism and religiously motivated extremism. She has been empowered to make any other recommendations needed to strengthen Australia's social cohesion. The announcement follows weeks of political pressure from Jewish groups, business leaders, sporting greats and the federal opposition, calling for a federal royal commission. Mr. Albanese says he has made his decision after further reflection, following meetings with survivors of the Bondi attack and families of victims.
We've engaged respectfully with people, and we've made sure, I think, that we've done this in a way which has got it right. We listen to people. I think that's what people want. You know, the nation needs to come together.
He says the final report of the Royal Commission will be due on the first anniversary of the Bondi attack. Opposition Susan Lee has criticised the Prime Minister's decision to hold a National Royal Commission into the Bondi attack, saying it's not an act of leadership. Responding to an announcement of a Royal Commission, which Ms Lee has been pushing for since the December attack, Ms Lee says the Prime Minister is only guided by political ambition.
Anthony Albanese has relented, not because he believed a Commonwealth Royal Commission was the right thing to do, but because Australians have forced him into it.
Ms Lee says the Coalition will review the terms of reference in consultation with the Jewish community and national security experts. She also voiced criticism over the appointment of a sole commissioner, which she says shows the Prime Minister's failure to grasp the gravity of the issue. Australian researchers have discovered microscopic life forms living inside tree bark that could be crucial to fighting the effects of climate change. The tiny microbes consume gases, including methane, which is a big driver of global warming. It was already known they existed in soil, but this is the first time they've been found confirmed as living in trees as well, with the paper bark tree found to be particularly rich in them. That means there are a lot more microbes worldwide than first thought. The study authors, led by Bob Luang from Monash University and Luke Jeffrey from Southern Cross University, studied 80 different Australian species over 5 years. The federal government's signature housing policy could be worsening affordability for its first-time buyers, despite getting more people into home ownership. Analysis from Cotality shows price growth in the lower-priced cohort of properties eligible to buy under the 5% deposit scheme, outstripping more expensive properties. The first home buyer deposit scheme came into effect in October, with ministers at the time arguing it would not fuel price growth. Data for the December quarter showed 3.6% growth in houses priced under the cap, compared to 2.4% for homes priced above. The analysis shows the shift began in August, the same month Mr. Albanese announced the scheme's expansion would begin within weeks. And over in cricket, the McGrath Foundation has thanked Australians for more than $11.7 million raised for in-home cancer nurses during the Pink Test. That's the highest amount raised in the event's history. McGrath Foundation President and cricket legend Glenn McGrath expressed his gratitude to Australians for rising to the occasion this Pink Test, as it works towards its goals to ensuring no one with cancer misses out on care. The McGrath Foundation celebrated its 18th Pink Test fundraiser on day 3 of the SCG test, which saw the stadium awash with pink as spectators dressed for the occasion. Cricket Australia CEO Todd Greenberg says the Pink Test continues to show the powerful role sport can play in driving positive change. And in cycling, Felicity Wilson-Haffenden has again shown her vast potential with an upset win over reigning time trial champion Brodie Chapman at the Australian Road Cycling Championships. The 20-year-old Tasmanian beat Chapman by 3.8 seconds on Thursday in Perth for her first senior Australian road title. She says she always believed she could achieve the result, but hadn't expected it to be this year. And now for a look in the weather. Today, Friday, 9th of January, Perth is partly cloudy at 29. Adelaide is mostly sunny at 35. Melbourne is windy with a possible late storm at 41. Hobart is seeing a shower or two at 24. Canberra is sunny at 38. Wollongong is sunny at 35. And Sydney is sunny at 33. Newcastle is sunny at 36. Brisbane is seeing a shower or two at 29. Cairns is seeing showers with heavy falls possible at 29. And Darwin is seeing showers with a possible storm at 32. That wraps up the latest in news, sport and weather. You're listening to NITV Radio.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
Parents sending their children to childcare are now guaranteed a 90% subsidy for 3 days a week without completing any eligibility test. The subsidy will cost around $430 million over the next 4 years, but the government says hundreds of thousands of families are set to benefit. NITV Radio has the report. Melbourne mother Marita Tilleraz knows firsthand the struggle of paying for childcare.
Our childcare fees have been equivalent of our mortgage and more. The more I earn, like say I get a 5% pay rise due to inflation, then my childcare fee will go up because I'm earning the next bracket. And then my pay rise actually is less because all my money and more ends up going to childcare.
The mother of two works full-time and has long called for the activity test to be scrapped, an eligibility measure introduced by the Coalition back in 2018 that requires parents to work, study or volunteer a certain amount of hours each week. The goal of scrapping the test is shared by The Parenthood, an advocacy organisation that is also campaigning for a capping of childcare fees. Campaign director Maddie Butler says the test has made the lives of many parents more difficult.
We've heard stories that parents and carers have had to really quickly try and find just some volunteering that they could do in order to be able to access early learning and care so that then they could, with a bit more time, go out and get some paid work as well.
Starting this week, January 5th, the Albanese government have guaranteed access for parents to a 90% subsidy for 3 days a week of childcare. Treasurer Jim Chalmers says this will help parents across the country.
We expect about 100,000 Australian families will benefit from the Albanese Labor government's three-day guarantee. Now, we work on the basis that if it's good for kids, if it's good for families, it's good for the education system, then it's good for the economy as well. And that's why, as Treasurer, I'm really proud to have helped secure the funding for this three-day guarantee.
The government says these 3 days will not require the activity test. However, the test will still apply if parents want to access the childcare subsidy for additional days. Nisha Hutchison, owner of the Cressy Road Early Learning Centre, says removing the test for the 3 days is a good first step to make the care more affordable for parents.
We've had families that have had up to four children in care with us at the same time. This is not cheap. Scrapping this means that they don't have to do these sums as much and they can actually just make decisions in the best interests of families, of their own family and of their children.
The Parenthood's campaign director, Maddie Butler, says these subsidies from the government will not fix the issue of the cost on their own.
Whenever these subsidy increases have been introduced, they've then soon been followed by fee hikes from many service providers. So that's why we're calling on the federal government for a fixed fee model and to reform the system just to ensure that it's really simple for families to use.
But the childcare subsidy does not guarantee admission with a provider. Families will still need to secure a place with their chosen childcare service and may need to pay a gap fee. Mother of two, Jen Fleming, says it's been incredibly difficult to secure her daughter a place at a childcare centre.
I put my first daughter's name down when I was 20 weeks pregnant. She is 4.5 and she has still not been offered a place at that centre.
After facing this struggle, Ms. Fleming has been advocating for the government's new subsidy to also cover alternatives to childcare.
It could be a nanny or a grandparent. It could be an au pair. It could be a co-working space that allows a mum to go back to work sooner but continue to breastfeed. There needs to be this broadening of the system to acknowledge all types of care.
Opposition leader Susan Lee says the subsidies don't fix the issue of a lack of childcare options and removing the test may make matters more difficult for some working parents.
Well, you can find families in almost every single postcode that can't get a place for one day, let alone three. The other concern we have is that it removes the activity test. And what that means is that people who are working or studying no longer have priority. And we've always believed that those families should have priority in childcare.
That story by Sam Dover and Jasmine Cassis for SBS News. Produced by Nari Pakai for NITV Radio. Up next, a conversation with Melissa Sandy, coming up in the Perth Festival as part of the program in February. Have a listen to this conversation with Melissa Sandy.
My name is Melissa Sandy. I'm in Jubundi and I'm from Roeburn in the Pilbara.
Now, this is your first solo show.
So this came about through deep sadness and grief after losing one of my aunties who grew me up as a mum. When I lost my mum, she took over the role as well as my mum's other sisters. So, yeah, never thought my first solo would be something so full of feelings and emotions and, yeah, just so much feeling into it. But yeah, it is what it is. I just needed to use it as a way to help myself get through losing her, but also my family and my community back home, because there's a lot of grief and loss there at the moment. Never stops really in the world. So yeah, I just want to help people through my exhibition.
I'm so sorry to hear that, sis. And grief, like you said, a lot of our communities, it's just never ending, eh?
Yeah.
Sadly.
No, never, yeah.
Tell us about your artwork. How did you start your art?
Well, myself as an artist, I started in 2005 with my mum, my younger sister, my other mum. Yeah, we like calling our aunties mum. But, yeah, and a couple of my other cousin sisters, and we just grew from there and to where we are today. But my solo came about with one painting, and I finished that painting and I realised that there was so much left in my heart that I needed to express, so much hurt, pain, anger from losing her. There was so much surrounding it, just, you know, cancer, it's a battle that some of us just don't win. And then, yeah, just being with her in the last few days of her life and just seeing how strong she was and just still calling back home and, you know, wondering about how family was, and that's who she was. So that one painting, it just didn't express enough, and I needed to do more to help myself. And I realised, and that's when it came to me, that the Void series, that's how it came about, this exhibition. When I sat down and I'd done each painting, it's like I felt her come to me, and each time I painted one of these paintings, something came to my heart, and each time I wrote it down, how I was feeling when I wrote it. So at the exhibition, each painting will show that. It'll tell people how I felt that exact moment as I was working on that painting. So each painting works through my process of dealing with the grief. They start off very dark. And then I start to, this is not only an exhibition through my journey of grief and to help my family and my community, but it is also to pay tribute to my mum, who was a very well-established artist in her own right. So through the exhibition, I start to use her colours, and that's how I pay tribute to her as an artist. And so they start to get lighter, and then I thought, well, I have to use a colour that I've never used before in my life, and I never thought I would touch as an artist. That's a very special metallic colour, and I was very, very second-guessing myself when I actually used that colour. But then when I did, I thought, oh, wow, this is special, and it's going to make this exhibition very special, because it's about not only processing the grief, like I said, but celebrating mum also. So I have 8-9 pieces in my exhibition, but I also have one of mum's big pieces that she had in the Tracks We Share exhibition in Agua, which is a big 3x5. So I want her to shine on this night. As artists, we all have our different styles and techniques. And when she first started painting, she actually won a Cossack Art Award. The night we were there at the Cossack Art Award, she goes to our manager, Patricia, who we called Jutta, old lady, and she goes, Jutta, this painting is Jaja, and that means it's no good. And then when the awards are getting sung out, it's like, Aileen Sandy has won this award. And it gave her so much pride and just more meaning to being an artist. And throughout that, she just grown, and she was very quiet. She had a quiet nature. She was very loud and, yeah, within the family. But when it came to talking out in public spaces, she was very quiet, often asked her sister or myself to speak on behalf of her. But at the Tracks We Share exhibition, she actually spoke, holding both our hands. We were side by side. So that was a very special moment for us. So, yeah, Colours Through the Rocks, her paintings were, had a lovely, rich orange, magenta, and she mixed a very special colour that none of us can get right anymore. So it was her special colour. I think we taught each other. I think as a family who paints together, we thrive off one another, so we teach one another. It's not, she's our elder, so she teaches us how to paint. It's that we learn from each other in that environment. You know, Mum had worries with her painting sometimes, so it's all about boosting someone's confidence. And like I said, Mum always thought her paintings were Jaja, and yet they were, they're in Agua, and then she's getting big high commissions for these paintings, and while we're still painting. So we're all very proud of her. We still are. The whole thing about me doing this Void series is that I couldn't process my grief. I had to help my family through it. And so I bottled up all my emotions and feelings towards losing her, and I had to be the strong one to hold the family together, to help her brother and sister get through it. So when this Void series happened and I started, I just let all that emotion out onto my canvas. And when doing that, I felt relieved because I needed something to help me, and I'm so happy that I have this art form to be able to do it. There's so many people out there who don't have something positive to help them with grief. I thought back to all the tributes that everyone sent to me and all the lovely, kind words that they had to say about her. I was thinking, wow, this is someone special who has left our family but still holds a special place in our hearts. And that's why it's called the Void series, because she's left that space in our hearts and our lives, but she's still with us. Every day when we think of her, when we see her artwork. Yeah, it's like you lose one person, and then, a year later or months later, you lose someone who's, closer to that person, and it's like it brings it all back. So there's really never any letting go, moving on from grief. You just learn to live. You just got to learn to live with it. Well, I'm hoping that she'd be proud of me. It's like I'm not only helping myself, but I'm trying to help her sons as well, who she left behind, help her grannies, just to move on. And just, you got to move on in life, but you don't need to forget that person. That's why in this exhibition I have that big piece of hers, because it's not only about my journey through grief, but it's also about celebrating Mum.